cord on it so I can still wander around.
There we go. Ooh. Isaiah chapter 43. And while you're turning there, I want to ask you a question. How many of you have ever asked a what if question? Have we ever done that? Yeah. What if this happened or that happened? What if this doesn't happen? What if that girl that I want to ask out on a date says no? What if that guy that I think is going to ask me out on a date actually asks me out on a date? What if my girlfriend says no when I ask her to marry me? What if she says yes when I ask her to marry me? If that's your question, maybe you better think twice about asking her to marry you. We ask a lot of what if questions. What if someone's been playing a really bad joke on me all my life and 2 + 2 = 5? Or the earth isn't round, it really is flat. What if all these things? What if I get cancer? What if I lose my job? What if something happens to someone in my family? So we think about a lot of things. We ask a lot of what if questions, and that's the title of the sermon this morning, I guess, just simply what if. I have 4 what if questions I want to ask you today, and I want us to think about in the context of this scripture. So I'm going to read the first 7 verses. The first 7 verses of Isaiah chapter 43. But now says the Lord, the one who created you, Jacob, the one who formed you, O Israel, don't fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When through the rivers, they won't sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you won't be scorched, and the flame won't burn you. I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I have given Egypt as your ransom, Cush and Seba in your place. Because you are precious in my eyes, you are honored, and I love you. I give people in your place and nations in exchange for your life. Don't fear. I am with you. From the east, I'll bring your children, and from the west, I will gather you. I'll say to the earth, give them back. I'll say to the north, give them back, and to the south, don't detain them. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the end of the earth. Everyone who is called by my name and whom I created for my glory, whom I have formed and made. God, this is your word today. Would you just use it? Speak to our hearts through it. In Jesus' name. Amen. What if? So here's the first what if question for you. What if I knew that no matter what the danger, I could rely on God's protection? What if I knew that no matter what danger I might face, I could rely on the protection of God? You see, this passage of Scripture in the very first few verses outlines 3 different examples and 3 different situations where God protected his people. He says, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. This is a direct reference to Moses and the children of Israel when they were coming out of Egypt. Moses is leading them from Egypt. He's going across the desert, and they come to this body of water called the Red Sea. The people begin to complain. The people begin to say, I wish we'd have just stayed back there. You know how it is. You know how it is. As long as things are going okay, we don't complain too much. But the first time something starts going south on us, we start saying, well, maybe that Moses guy has it all wrong. Maybe he didn't really hear from God at all. Maybe that preacher's gone loco and he's completely out of his mind. That's not God's plan for our church. He doesn't know where he's leading us. Look, we followed him, and what's he do? He brings us to this great big body of water that we don't have any way to get over, and Pharaoh and the Egyptians are hot on our trail. Now what do we do? Well, if you know much about the Bible, you know the story. God told Moses, he said, stretch your rod out over the water. And when he did, the waters parted, and there was a path on dry ground all the way from one side of the Red Sea to the other. Moses, the Israelites all passed through, and when they got to the other side, Pharaoh and all the Egyptian army were behind them, and as they tried to come through, the waters came back over them. And a lot of them lost their lives because they were chasing after God's people. You see, God worked an incredible miracle to protect his people while they were doing what he told them to do. They were doing their best to follow him in obedience. Moses was following in obedience. The people were following sometimes in obedience. But they got across the Red Sea. Not one life was lost. God protected them by performing a miracle that no one really expected. He kept them safe, kept them from losing their lives. He said, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. He makes this reference. When you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. What is that in reference to? This is in reference to Joshua. See, Moses got the children of Israel up to the very edge of the promised land. But because of disobedience, because of refusing to follow instructions to the letter, Moses got to look over into the promised land. But Moses himself never entered the promised land on this earth. Joshua is the next in line. After Moses died, God came to Joshua and said, now that my servant Moses is dead, you're in charge. You lead them from here. Be strong. Be courageous. Don't be afraid. Just do what I command you to do and everything will be okay. There was only one problem. Between where they were and where they were trying to go, there was this thing called the Jordan River. And the Bible tells us that the river was at flood stage, the time and season when they were trying to cross. The river was at its highest point. Somehow or another, they had to get from one side of the river to the other. There was no bridge. This time, God gave them a command. He said, you make sure the Levites are purified and cleansed and sanctified, and then you have them carry the ark on the poles and step out into the water. And when they step into the water will stop flowing. Joshua told them the plan. The Levites did everything they needed to do that night before. Made sure they weren't impure in any way. And I don't know about you, but I kind of wonder what they were thinking. When they got to the edge of that river and the current was raging because of the flood, and in order for them to experience the promise and the protection of God, they had to take a step off the bank and into the water. The water did not stop flowing until in their obedience they stepped in. But sure enough, the Bible tells us that when they stepped into the water carrying the ark of God, that the waters from upstream stopped flowing and they were able to cross on dry ground. They were protected. They were kept safe. Their lives were preserved. What if, no matter the danger, I knew that I could rely on God's protection? And there's another reference here. It says, when you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. You see, there's another instance in the Old Testament about three Hebrew men, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. You see, they were there during the time of exile for Israel. They had worked their way up. They had found favor in the king's eyes, and until they refused to bow to the golden image that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up for himself. He built this great big huge statue. Haven't we heard a lot about statues lately? You see, King Nebuchadnezzar had this great big huge statue. He got so enamored with himself. He was so proud of all his accomplishments. He decided to have a huge golden statue of himself made, and that every time all the people heard the music begin to play, they would bow down before that statue and worship him. But you see, there were three people in the crowd that day who refused to bow down and worship the statue of gold, because to do so would dishonor their God. They stood for what they knew was right. They held to their convictions. They held to the commandment that you shall have no other God before me. And the minute we bow down to something other than God, that becomes our God. King Nebuchadnezzar wasn't happy, to say the least. He called Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego before him, and he said, look, I'm going to give you one more chance. When you hear the music, you bow and you kneel and you worship the image I've made. And they said, we don't need another chance. We've made up our mind. We're not going to worship anyone besides the God of Israel. And he was so mad, he was so angry. He told the soldiers and the security guards to heat the furnace up just as hot as they could get it. And the Bible tells us it was 7 times hotter than it had ever been before. And he said, the result of your disobedience is to be cast into the fire. And they said, that's all right. Because the God that we serve will save us. So in they went. I don't think much time had passed before the king stood up and said, I'm going to admire my handiwork. I'm going to take a look, see what's going on. And when he looked over the edge of that pit into that furnace, I think he kind of stood up and did a double take. You ever had to do that? You ever had to just kind of shake your head and make sure you were seeing straight? And he looked back down in there again, and he says, wait a minute. We put 3 men in, right? They said, well, yeah, we put 3 in. He said, well, then someone want to explain to me why there are 4 men walking around in the fire? There's Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, but the form of the 4th man is like the Son of God, he said. The ropes were gone that had bound them. They were walking around. He said, pull them out. They pulled them out of the furnace. Their hairs weren't singed. Their clothes weren't burned. No smell of smoke. No sign that they had ever been in the fire. Because God protected his people when they walked in obedience to him. Now listen to me. If you have a young child sitting next to you, you might want to cover their ears. because I want to tell you something. Michael, I don't know. Do we have like that 5-second delay thing where you can? You might need to bleep this word out, because in some places you're not supposed to use this word. This is like the ultimate curse word in some places. But relying on God's protection does not give us a license to be stupid. All right? Relying on God's protection does not give us the right or reason to act in ways that are careless and reckless. What we're talking about here is the fact that God will protect us when we walk in obedience to Him. It does not mean I can go out here like I used to do when I had I don't have a fast car anymore. I used to. And I used to go out once in a while and see how fast it would go. Thanks to God's grace and protection, even when I was not being smart, I'm still here. But we're talking about the fact that we can know that God will protect us in the midst of the danger when we're walking in obedience to Him. Now, says the Lord, the one who created you, Jacob, the one who formed you, Israel, don't fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name, and you are mine. That's what God thinks of us today. That's who we are in God's sight. And He's going to protect us no matter what the danger is if we walk in obedience to Him. Here's the second question. What if I knew no matter what the need, I could rely on God's provision? What if I knew that no matter what my need, I could rely on God's provision? You see, God is aware of our need. Everything that we need, every desire that we have, God is aware of it. He knows exactly what we need before we even ask. That's what the Scripture says. But He tells us to come and ask Him anyway. He tells us to come and pray, even though He knows what we're going to pray about. He tells us to admit our need, even though He already knows what our need is. Matthew chapter 6, verse 8 says, your Father knows what you need before you ever ask Him. And Matthew chapter 6, verses 31 and 32 says, so do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagan runs after these things, and your heavenly Father knows you need them. Aren't you glad to know that we serve a God who is already aware of what we need before we ever come and tell Him? He knows everything about us. There's nothing that we need that slips His mind. He doesn't forget something we need just because He didn't write it on His grocery list. He already knows us there. So don't worry, because your Heavenly Father knows what you need. But not only is He aware of our need, He's able to meet our need. Matthew chapter 6, 33, chapter 6, verse 33 says, seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Philippians 4, 19 says, my God will meet all of your needs according to His glorious riches in Christ Jesus. You see, we should take comfort today in knowing that God knows what we need. He has everything that we need, and He wants to give us what we need. Last year, spring semester, we have, those of you who know us know, those of you who are visiting today may not know, Blenda and I have 3 children, 2 of them are in college. Those 2 are both going to Nazarene universities. They're not cheap. Jordan and Emily have both done very, very well academically. They have incredible financial aid packages from their respective schools because of their academics and some music scholarships. Emily's in the Preaching Ambassadors program at Olivet Nazarene University. She was selected to that program as a freshman, which is almost unheard of. Yet last year, we were facing a situation where I owed money on Jordan and Emily's school bill, both. And it was a spring semester. It was coming down to that point where if they didn't have their bills paid and all their accounts weren't settled up within just a couple of weeks, they weren't going to be able to register for the next school year. Every Tuesday morning, unless there was some kind of an emergency, every Tuesday morning, I met with a group of three or four retired gentlemen and for coffee. It was not some kind of ultra-spiritual thing. We'd talk about church, but we talked about life. We talked about politics. We talked about a lot of different things. But there were three or four retired gentlemen from the church that we pastored, and we'd meet together every Tuesday morning at 8:30, and in that Tuesday morning prayer meeting, or coffee time, I just told them, I said, would you pray for me? Would you pray for us? We've got school bills coming up, and we've got all this stuff needs to happen, or the kids aren't going to be able to register. And I said, we are kind of feeling the crunch. I don't remember exactly how much we owed on Jordan's bill, and it wasn't a lot. You're going to laugh when you hear this, but it was like $800. I can remember Emily's bill. Emily's bill was $613. That's how much we owed. So I just asked the people, I said, would you pray for us? They did. You know what? Later that day, Emily texted me, and she said, Dad, just got a $600 scholarship for this semester that we didn't even know existed. God is aware of your need, and He's able to meet your need. I testified to that event the next time we were in church. But one of the guys that I had coffee with that Tuesday morning said, he walked up to me, because he asked me, I told him how much we owed. He asked me, he said, how much was that scholarship for? I said, $600. He reached in his pocket. He had $13 in his pocket. And he handed me $13. He's a retired pastor. Handed me $13, said, give that to Emily. I said, thank you. But I said, I think we can handle 13. But he gave it to me anyway. God knows what you need. And you know what? What if I knew no matter what I need, I could rely on God's provision? I don't know about you, but sometimes I allow myself to get wrapped up in those things. I worry about stuff, and I know we're not supposed to. I'm just confession, all right? I'm just going to be transparent with you. I worry about stuff. But God, time and time again, has proven that I don't have to worry because He knows what I need. When we were looking at the possibility of moving here, things had not been finalized yet. The church had not voted. We had been here for the interview. The church had not voted yet. We were still working out all those details. But when it started becoming apparent that it was very possible we would be moving to Shipshewana to become your new pastor, we started praying about things and we started thinking about things. And you need to understand a little bit of background. We moved to a town in Iowa a few years back, a town of about 600 people. Blenda's a registered nurse. Up until this time, we'd always had a group health insurance plan. We went through a terrible situation there. There were no jobs for her to have there that had benefits with them. The health insurance issue that we had to face almost bankrupted us. So you can imagine the nervousness that we were feeling about her being able to find a job in a smaller community that would have health insurance benefits with it. The more phone calls we made, the more we realized the likelihood of us coming here. She didn't even send a resume. There was a health company, Goshen. She worked for Goshen Health. And she had looked at their webpage, and all she did was send them an email asking for more information. They sent an email back within just a short period of time and said, we'd love to have a resume. They explained the situation, said, we've got this one job available, but there's a possibility of another part-time job becoming available, and our part-time jobs have health insurance benefits. Blenda can't work full-time because of a back surgery that she had several years ago. The doctor told her, he said, I'll never, ever release you to work full-time. But see, God knows all this too. The human resources representative asked her to send a resume. He said, there's a possibility of a part-time job coming open, but we don't have final approval on it yet. I'm not even supposed to tell you about it. She sent the resume. And the same day she sent the resume, they got final approval for that part-time position, and that's the position she now holds as a registered nurse. You think God's timing isn't perfect? You think God doesn't know what you need? You see, that's easy for you to say, I'm not any different than you. We walk in obedience. If we do the best we can to walk in obedience, God knows exactly what we need, and He'll be able to provide that need for us. We should take comfort in knowing that God knows what we need. Here's the third what if question. What if I knew no matter where I go? What if I knew that no matter where I go, I will remain in His presence? Psalm 139, verses 7 through 12. Where could I go to get away from Your Spirit? Where could I go to escape Your presence? If I went up to heaven, You would be there. If I went down to the grave, You would be there too. If I could fly on the wings of the dawn, stopping to rest only on the far side of the ocean, even there Your hand would guide me. Even there Your strong hand would hold me tight. If I said the darkness will definitely hide me, the light will become night around me. Even then the darkness isn't too dark for You. Nighttime would shine bright as the day because darkness is the same as light to You. Where can I go to get away from Your presence? David said, there's not anywhere I go that You're not with me. And we go back to our text in Isaiah 43. He says, don't fear. I am with you. Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20. We just preached about that a few weeks ago, the Great Commission. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I am with you always. Surely I am with you always, even to the very end of the age. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5 says, never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. No matter where I go, no matter where I go, God's right there with me, whether I want Him to be or not. You might think you're fooling some people. Oh, no, I can go here, so and so. Nobody will ever know. God knows, because He's with you. No matter where we are. Here's the last question for you today. And this one just, it just still blows my mind. What if, when I don't know how or what to pray, I could remember Jesus is praying for me? What if, when I don't know how or what to pray, I could remember Jesus is praying for me. Before the throne of God above, I have a strong and perfect plea. A great high priest whose name is love, whoever lives and pleads for me. We had a prayer request come to us the other day, just a couple days ago. Someone texted me some information and asked if we could put it on the prayer chain. So I sent the information to Karen, and she took care of that for me. How many times do we hear someone say, will you pray for me, or I'll pray for you? But what if, when I don't know how or what to pray, I could remember that Jesus is praying for me? Hebrews 7:25 says He is able to save completely those who come to God through Him, because He always lives to intercede for them. You see, Jesus is praying for our salvation. What happens? What happens when I come to Christ, or when I come to a place of prayer because maybe I've done something that's not honoring to God, and I have to repent and I ask God to forgive me? Who do you think sitting at the right hand of the Father, making that prayer of intercession on our behalf? It's Jesus Himself. That's what he does. That's his role. He's our intercessor. Romans chapter 8, verses 26 and 27 says this: we don't know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will. Not only does he intercede for us in a time of asking for forgiveness of sins, but he also intercedes for us, the saints, so that God's will might be carried out in their lives. Then Romans chapter 8, verse 34 says this: Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. How many of you have ever heard the idea of having a prayer partner? We've talked about prayer partners. Here's what I want you to remember today before we go. Jesus is the ultimate prayer partner. And no matter what you need, no matter what situation or circumstance or trial that we're facing, even when I don't know how to pray or I don't have the words to say, I can remember Jesus is praying for me. And no matter what situation you face today, I want you to remember that Jesus is taking your need to the very throne of God, his heavenly Father, and he's praying for you. Well, in the midst of all these what-if questions, can I just tell you this? We can know that God will protect us no matter what's going on around us. We can know that he's willing and able to supply all of our needs when we follow him in obedience. We can rely on the fact that God will never leave us no matter where we go. And we can rest in confidence of knowing that Jesus continually takes our needs and our concerns to his heavenly Father in prayer on our behalf. You know, God just told me this week, I struggled with what to preach. But he gave me this message, and he said, sometimes my people need to be encouraged. Sometimes my people need to hear some good news. And he said, this week, my people, my church, needs to hear this message, that they're not alone, that I'll watch over them, that I'll be with them, and that I will supply their need. Maybe you have a need this morning. Maybe there's something that God has spoken to you about this morning during the sermon. I just want to take a minute. Would you just bow your heads right where you're sitting? Maybe there's someone here this morning and you'd say, you know, you've got it spoken to me. I need God's help with this. If that's you, I would invite you to come to this altar if that's what you feel like God is leading you to do. I would encourage you right where you're sitting. If that's what God would have you to do, just bring that need. Maybe it's a worry. Maybe it's a concern about how God is going to provide for me. Maybe it's a situation that I just don't know how to pray about. Just take a moment. Take a moment to share your heart with Jesus and tell him what you need, even though he already knows. This is just your personal time with God. No pressure. Just being obedient to Him. Father, today I just pray that You would meet the needs, the desires, and the concerns of Your people here today. Help us to leave this place knowing that we've been in Your presence. And help us to leave with the assurance that we're doing our best to live in obedience to You. And we'll give You praise. Brother Steve Hostetler, I'm going to ask if you would dismiss us in prayer this morning.